This gentleman said, "What? If we make this record, we'll clean up."
Well, he gave me a mop.
Come on then, Dizzy. Get beating, buddy.
Yes.
Get going now.
All right, now then. Hey, baby. What do I have to do to make a hit with you?
Oh. 1, 2, you got it. Stop it.
Stop. It's much too fast. All right. Try it again slow.
You got to dance with me, Henry.
All right, baby.
Jump with me, Henry.
Hey, don't be navy.
Rock with me, Henry.
Any old time.
Talk with me, Henry.
Don't change my mind.
Dance with me, Henry.
All right, baby.
You got to dance, baby. You got to dance.
While the cats are bawling, you'd better stop your stalling. You got to swing it by the hour, or you'll be a wallflower. Dance with me, Minnie. You better dance while the music goes on.
Oh,
Minnie, come and dance with me. You better feel that boogie beat and get the lead out of your feet. Yes. Rock me, Minnie.
Okay, buddy.
Swing it,
Minnie. Will you stop singing in my melody?
Listen, I know it. Don't you hit me with that rock bottom.
No, put me down.
Gateway to the South. We enter Balham through the verdant grasslands of Battersea Park, and at once we are aware that here is a land of happy, contented people who go about their daily tasks in truly democratic spirit. This is busy High Street, focal point of the town's activity. Note the quaint old stores whose frontage is covered with hand-painted inscriptions, every one a rare example of native Balham art. Let us read some of them as our camera travels past.
Cooking apples, choice eaters.
A song to remember at the Tandemount Cinema.
A suit to remember at Montague Moth.
Promotions conducted with decorum and taste.
Friday night, bring your own paper. Rally Thursday, Berkeley Square. Viscountess Lewisham and Mrs. Gerald Legg. Up the ruling classes.
This shows the manifold activities of Balham's thriving community. But in quiet corners, we still find examples of the exquisite workmanship that Balham craftsmen have made world famous. Toothbrush holesmanship.
On my forge, I carve the little holes in the top of toothbrushes. It is exciting work, and my forefathers have been engaged upon it since 1957. The little holes in the top are put in manually, or in other words, once a year. I recently had the honor of demonstrating my craft before the owner of ice. He stopped by one day for a couple of words. I did not understand either of them.
So much for Balham's industries. Now let us see a little more of the town. Here is the great park covering nearly half an acre. This is where the children traditionally meet by the limpid waters of the old drinking fountain. A drinking fountain that has for countless years across the vast aeons of time given untold pleasure to man, woman, and child. Beside this fountain, donated by able counselor Quills as long ago as 1928, the little ones sit around a trim nursemaid and listen spellbound and enchanted as she reads them a story.
With one bound, he was by her side. Nora felt his hot breath on her cheek as he ripped the thin silk from...
We are now entering Old Balham. Time has passed by this remote corner. So shall we. But Balham is not neglecting the cultural side. This is Eugene Quills, whose weekly recitals are attended by a vast concord of people. He has never had a lesson in his life. Such is the enthusiasm of Balham's music lovers that they are subscribing to a fund to send Eugene to Italy or Vienna or anywhere. Night falls on Balham. From Quill's Folly, Balham's famous beauty spot, which stands nearly 10 feet above sea level, the town is spread below us in a fairyland of glittering lights, changing all the time. Green, amber, red, red and amber, and back to green. The nightlife is awakening. The El Morocco Tea Room.
Hi, miss.
Yes, what you want?
Pilchards.
They're off, dear.
Baked beans?
Off.
Oh, meatloaf salad?
That's off, too.
Pot of tea?
No tea, dear.
Well, just milk, then.
Milk's off.
Roll and butter, then?
No butter, dear.
Oh, just a roll.
Only bread, love.
I might have just as well have stayed at home.
Well, I don't know. It does you good to have a fling occasionally.
And so the long night draws on. The last stragglers make their way home, and the lights go out one by one as dawn approaches and the bell of St. Quill's Parish Church tolls 10 o'clock. Balham sleeps. And so we say farewell to this historic borough with many pleasant memories. And the words of C. Quill Smith, Balham's own bard, burning in our ears.
Broad-bosomed, bold, becalmed, benign, lies Balham, four square on the northern line. Matched by no marvel save in eastern scene, a rose-red city, half as gold as green. By country churchyard, ferny fen and muir, what Quills mute, inglorious, lies buried here? Oh, stands the church clock at 10 to 3, and is there honey still for tea?
Honey's off, dear.
Look here. I'll buy you a diamond ring, my friend, if it makes you feel all right.
Oh.
I'll get you anything, my friend, if it makes you feel all right.
Ah, but I don't care too much for money. Money can't buy me love.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you all I've got to give, if you say you love me. True. I may not have a lot to give, but what I've got, I'll give to you.
But I don't care too much for money. Money cannot buy me love.
Can't buy me love?
No.
Everybody tells me so.
Naughty.
Can't buy me love?
No. No. Stop it.
Well, then, say you don't need no diamond ring. I'll be satisfied. tell me that you want the kind of thing that money just can't buy.
But, you see, I just don't care too much for money. Money cannot buy me love.
I see. Well, good night.
Balls.
All right, boys. 1, 2, 7, 9.
Now there's a town where the folks are dumb, but they're always happy and never glum. They just drink rum till they feel quite numb and do the dipso, calypso, the dipso, calypso. You shake your head and your hipso with a bottle of rum inside your little dumb, doing the dipso, calypso.
Right in the mood now, Jackson. Jolly good luck, everybody.
Now the native girls on the Virgin Islands, they sit around wearing nothing but smiles. There are two men they won't let in, Charlie Chaplin and Errol Flynn. Now I called on a lady, her name was Miss Brown. She was having a bath and she could not come down. I said, slip on something, you won't be a tick. So she slipped on the soap and came down pretty quick.
That was a bit of an old one, never mind, I'm getting paid. Here we go.
There was a young lady named Vickers who went with her boy to the Flickers. He saw a bit of wool and started to pull, and that's how the girl lost her knitting.
Pardon me, which side of the record am I on?
If they're playing this side, it's the top. If they're playing the other side, it's the bottom.
Just as I thought. Ask silly questions, you get silly answers. How I'm gonna get back through that little hole in the middle, I'll never know.
Last verse coming up. Good luck, everybody. I bought a radio set last week. You could not buy one finer. Last night I laid in bed and I heard my wife getting on to China. Oh, the dipso, calypso, woo! You shake your head and your hipso with a bottle of rum inside your tum. You too can do the dipso, calypso. Oh, hoppa, hoppa, and sing your language.
Fool.
She was a right bird, wasn't she?
What?
I say she was a right bird, wasn't she?
Who?
Marge.
Marge?
Yeah. You remember Marge, don't you?
No. Of
course you do. You remember the party you come to at our place, the one for my mum's golden wedding?
Well, where we set fire to her curtains?
Yeah, that's it. Well, her.
Who, your mum?
No, the bird.
What bird?
You know, the one that works at the pickle factory with our Reg.
Who?
God almighty, our Reg, the cousin of mine who come out of Boston and got engaged to the girl next door.
Oh, yeah?
Well, her.
Well, you're Reg's girl.
No, not our Reg's girl. You twit. Our Reg works with this bird. Listen, she was a sister of the bird who was with that fellow who tried to lay one on you that night.
Oh, yeah?
Well, you remember her?
No.
You don't? You must do, you... She sang, don't you remember she sang Anyone Who Had an Heart? And her stockings fell down?
Oh, that one, yeah, I remember her. All that black hair all up at the back.
Yeah.
And a tight green sweater.
Yeah.
A red skirt and a pink shoes with the big stiletto heels on.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I remember her.
Now, right. Now, do you remember her mate?
No, I don't remember no mate.
You don't remember her mate? You must do. You remember the bird who reckoned she could drink 4 stout, 4 scotches, 4 creme de menthe and then did it?
Oh, yeah.
And you held her head down after?
Yeah.
Well,
little bit in a matador pants with a split all
down.
Yeah. Was that Marge?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember her. What about her?
Well, she was a right bird, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Well...
with Englishman, a sweet and simple Singlishman. No Romeo, as I had planned, but oh, the thrill when he holds my hand. I thought I'd fall for that Latin love, but this is smooth as satin love. I'm that in love, my mind goes tinglish when I just think, oh, Englishman. I met him at a party, the man I thought would only exist in my dreams. And I heard for the first time that voice, that wonderful voice that was to mean so much in my life.
Hello. Would you care for a sausage?
I thought at first it might have been the wine, but it was not. Then, almost before I could recover my breath, he spoke to me again.
You will excuse me, won't you? But, you're sitting on my food salad.
I knew then that this was going to be something beautiful. He looked at me with those eyes, those heavenly, cool blue eyes, and said,
I dare, you're not by the remotest chance interested in cricket, are you?
I suppose it was then that my life really began. Of course I adored his sense of humor. Every woman did. Those sparkling flashes of wit that were so characteristic, like the... Yes, like the time he spilled a cup of tea down his trousers and said,
oh, dear, I've gone and spilled tea all down my trousers.
And as time went by, I realized that beneath his cool exterior, he too was fighting to control his emotions. Now tell me, how could I resist this man? Darling. Darling. Hmm? Darling, I love you.
What?
I love you.
Ooh.
Take me. Take all of me. Oh, darling, if you knew how I've waited for this moment, how I've counted the seconds. Oh, my love, my dear, sweet, darling love. Just hold me. Hold me tight. So tight, and tell me. Darling, my love, please tell me.
You are not English, are you?
He was like an animal, sensuous, barbaric, primitive. What hope had I of winning such a charming and sophisticated man of the world? Me, a poor, simple Italian girl. I remember once he said to me,
I say, you're not really Italian, are you? Are you really Italian? I mean, spaghetti and bolognese and all that sort of thing. God heavens above, Antoinette, I've never met.
I still see him once in a while, but somehow I know that for him anyway, the magic is gone. But for me,
she's yet in love. Her mind goes tingling when she just thinks of English. Me? How silly. How strange.
This is Derek Screech from Wembley Stadium. Today we're going to watch the finals in the All Britain George Formby contest. We will see would-be George Formbys from all over the land singing and playing some of his more famous songs. There is a very distinguished panel of judges this year. Barbara Cartland to judge the age of the contestants, Sir Freddie Laker, who will fly the winner free of charge to Wigan, and Rudolf Nureyev. Yes, Nureyev is here, and you may just wonder why. However, it is a little-known fact that since he defected to the West, he has become a devoted George Formby fan. He was weaned on an early Formby 78 record his parents had smuggled into Russia, and is at this very moment in time preparing a George Formby ballet, which he has called George Formby Meets Giselle, in which he will partner Dame Margot Fontaine. Listen to the crowd. Lord Longford is here to make certain that what occurred last year, a false, filthy, pornographic song, is not suddenly sung. You may recall Lord Longford raised his white anti-porn wire and the contender was rapidly rushed from the platform or stage and a George Formby gag stuffed like lightning into his mouth. We all know Formby was famous for his innuendos, but he never resorted to filth, and it may put a damper on the whole festival. Now we have a Mr. Nigel Greeps from Eton and Cambridge and Sloane Square. And although much too young to have seen the early George Formby films, he heard a Formby record being played one night at a disco and has become a fanatic George Formby fan. He does not, unfortunately, have the traditional North Country accent, but he does have a very interesting George Formby style. Here he goes now.
Ha-ha! It's turned out nice again, hasn't it?
It's me, Grandad's flannelette nightshirt. In it, I was christened one day. At the church, there were an awhirl. Oh, no one seemed to know if I were boy or girl. Oh, they'd had one or two, and they were in a mess.
Ah, yes, the judges have stopped him because of the accent problem. He hasn't mastered the traditional Formby Wigan accent, and without that, there's no hope. He seems somewhat perturbed, has gone very pale, and is thumping the back of his banjolele. But he has nevertheless had to retire. Yes, there he goes now. It's sad, but there it is. It's all part of this huge, wonderful George Formby contest. Now, next, we have a very, very interesting George Formby coming up. A Hindu, Mr. Kumar Banerjee, who in Benares, India, heard a Formby record, only one Formby record, mark you, and until that time he had known only the traditional music by Ravi Shankar and Yehudi Menuhin. However, he made Formby his guru, and when his family moved to England, he continued with his Formby studies. Now he is going to sing Guarding the Home of the Home Guards. Here he comes now.
Ha-ha! It has turned out nice again, has it not? I am guarding the home of the home guard, guarding the home guard home. All night long, sturdy and strong, doing what I'm told so I cannot go wrong. Last night, went out on LDB, one German soldier I did see. He ran like hell, but he couldn't catch me, guarding the home guard home. I am guarding the home guard, the home guard. What is happening? What? Human being? What?
Ah, yes, he's been stopped. Yes, he's been stopped, and I think I see what it is. Yes, yes, yes. He sounds a little too much like Peter Sellers and Spike Milligan. Even though he is wearing a very light makeup for the Formby image, yes, it won't work. Never mind. Or he's being taken off, but he will, of course, be included in the finals. What a shame, what a shame. The next contender is Herbert Thing from Wigan, from George Formby's own hometown, and the proud possessor of one of George Formby's original banjoleles. And he is going to sing Keep Your Seats, Please.
Turned out nice again, didn't it?
There's something very wrong here. Something very wrong indeed. Hello? Hello? Yes, they've discovered this fellow Thing, or whatever his name is, has been miming. He's been miming to an authentic George Formby record. I wonder what the scratching noise was. The band discovered they were out of tempo with it, and he has been absolutely forbidden from taking part in the finals. This has never happened here before. For a contender to resort to such sleazy tactics in order to win the gold buck teeth prize, it's absolutely despicable. Never has anyone mimed to an actual record of the master. He's being manhandled off by the ushers and is hitting out and struggling, but there are some very big bounces from up north, and he is being bounced off the stage. So that's the end of him. Now he will be taken before the judges, and I am told, suffer the traditional smashing of the banjolele, ripping of the blazer buttons, and crushing of the boater hat. This will be performed by the Lord Mayor of Wigan, Alderman Alderman.
You have disgraced yourself in the name of the late, great George Formby. We say that you are no longer entitled to take part in any George Formby contest in any part of Wales. We cannot stop you from playing in your own home, but we will do our best to prevent it. It's turned out nice again, hasn't it?
Now the Crusher Royal steps up and takes a swipe at the banjolele with a huge sledgehammer. Yes, that's never going to be played again. Can you hear it? Oh, my goodness. The blazer buttons are being ripped off now. The crowd are very angry. You can hear them. Oh, they're very, very, very angry indeed. This could be very nasty. He's being frog-marched off the stage, and who knows what will happen to him once they get him round the back. It's very bad form indeed. Now, finally, in this incredible contest, we have Mr. Arthur Freds of Lewisham, who does quite a remarkable impression of George Formby and has written an original.
Turn out nice again, isn't it?
They're parking camels where the taxis used to be. At all them smart hotels, you'll see them constantly. Now, when a sheik says to the doorman, I think I'll buy this dump, it's the doorman, not the camel, who really gets the ump. They're parking camels where the taxis used to be. Which doesn't seem quite right, I think you'll all agree. Those guests who used to take a village steak so easy to digest, well, now they're told that all cold sheep's eyes are much the best. I know it's sad, but I think you'll all agree. They're parking camels where the taxis used to be.
Fella went in the Dorchester the other day, said, I like this place, put it on the bill. Knees up, Mother Brown. I know it's sad, but true, I think you'll all agree. They're parking camels where the taxis used to be. They're parking camels where the taxis used to be.
You can hear the terrific applause for the parking camel song. And it looks like he's won it. Yes, yes, he's won it. This year's National George Formby Finals. And, of course, he can continue now for the George Formby Internationals, where he will compete against the Russian George Formbys, the German George Formbys, the Jewish George Formbys, and, of course, the Chinese George Formbys. So let me ask my colleague, Major Rafe Ralph, if he's anything to add.
Yes, yes. Well, in the early stage of this Formby thing, critics didn't have the faith, you see. They thought it would catch on. But as I have always said, it's the public who must decide for themselves, and decide the public have. I mean, it's honest to it, isn't it? I mean, we're making enormous amounts of money and lots of people very happy, which is, of course, our main aim.
Major, can you tell me, is there any truth in the fact that they are going to make a film of the George Formby story with John Travolta in the title role as a sort of dancing George Formby?
Yes, yes. Well, that's the idea of it generally. Robert Stigwood When he made all that loot, I thought to myself, there's a gold mine here, absolute gold mine, no end to it at all. And so I am at this moment negotiating with the Americans with regard to Travolta. Formby had never heard of Travolta, and Travolta, of course, has never heard of Formby, but that doesn't matter. He soon will. I can't wait to watch Travolta dancing to the throbbing rhythms of me Auntie Mabel's knickers have got holes in the back. Yes, I think we could have an absolute world smash on our hands. They're assembling on the stage now. The crowd here are going mad with enthusiasm. Listen to them, mad, absolutely mad. What a wonderful sight this is. I've rarely seen Wembley Stadium so jam full, except on Cup Final Day. Now, the judges are stepping forward to award the winner the gold George Formby buck teeth, which, of course, he can keep and wear until next year. Here they are now, the gold teeth glittering in a magnificent velvet box. The runners-up will receive bronze teeth as a consolation prize. Now, to end this magnificent entertainment, all the finalists are being assembled onto the stage to sing Parking Camels at one at the same time, as a form of tribute to the great comedian. Of course, they will begin with the George Formby catchphrase. There they go now.
It hasn't turned out nice, it has turned out nice.
They are parking camels where the taxis used to be.
It must surely, in this day and age, come as something of a shock to the ordinary man in the street to learn that there still exists in this country a sect of people who are still genuinely convinced that the earth is flat. However, and I believe this to be only fair, one should never condemn out of hand the beliefs of others without first investigating those beliefs. And it is for this very reason, despite the fact that more than 400 years have elapsed since Magellan first circumnavigated the globe...
God, that word!
Circumnavigation?
No, the other one.
Globe?
Oh, yes, for that word, we never use that. Never. It's forbidden by Article 19 of our charter. I ever use that.
Well, here in the studio, we have Mr. Jeremiah Fuller, the present secretary of the International Flat Earth Association. Now, Mr. Fuller, how many members have you at the present?
Well, sir. Excuse me. When we were first formed, sir, in 1922, membership was restricted entirely to the United Kingdom. Mm-hmm. And there was only three of us, including myself and my good lady wife.
I see.
But today, even as I speak to you now, we are 15 in number, sir. 15 in number. And this figure embraces two members in Dar es Salaam and five in Hong Kong. Five
remarkable,
in Hong Kong and two members in Dar es Salaam.
Remarkable, quite remarkable. Now, Mr. Fuller, could you tell us very briefly just why you think the earth is flat?
Well, sir, I'm afraid one would need a much longer program than this in order to obviate the necessity of more than a brief resume of all the facets involved.
Mr. Fuller, have you never seen photographs taken from high-altitude rockets which distinctly show the curvature of the Earth?
Well, they're fakes, sir. They are fakes, every one of them. And I'd like to take the opportunity of making it public here and now that there is a worldwide conspiracy of leading statesmen and scientists to discredit our association and all it stands for, as laid down in its charter for their own secret and wicked purposes.
Come
sir.
Now, Mr. Fuller, this is a preposterous idea. You surely can't be serious.
You can see fit to jeer, sir. But the day of retribution will surely come when you and all the other jibing sceptics who mock us will be forced to repent of your heresy or be cast in the everlasting fire with sackcloth and ashes on your loins. And I say unto
Mr.
you...
Mr. Fuller...
I will be heard, sir. I will be heard. We waited years for a chance like this. As their spokesman of the International Flat Earth Association, I say unto you that the hour of the great reckoning is not so far distant as you might suppose. Because, sir, by detailed studies of the scriptures, my colleagues and I have ascertained that the world will be destroyed by fire on the 17th of every month.
But the 17th was yesterday, Mr. Fuller.
All right, I'm a day out then.
Correct me if I am
wrong. I'm a day out, that's all.
Please.
What's the day?
Mr. Fuller, correct me if I am wrong. You have already incorrectly forecast the end of the world on four separate occasions. According to you, we were supposed to have had doomsday in 1923, 1931, 1937, and as recently as 1950.
What are a few years here and there, sir, when measured against the limitless backcloth of eternity? What are they but as grains of sand?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Fuller, but do you mind very much if we get back to the subject in hand for a moment? Now,
grains of sand.
If, as you contend, the earth is flat, what happens if you keep on walking in a straight line?
You'd try and catch me that old one, would you? Try and catch it. But you think you've got me there. Do you know, sir, it is an incontrovertible fact that every year thousands of people is reported missing from home and disappear without a trace. And what has happened to them? I tell you, they have simply walked off the edge of the world. Could anything be more obvious
than
that?
Have you any evidence whatsoever to support this fantastic and unbelievable theory?
Evidence, sir? What more evidence do you need? Verily, sir, I say unto you that when the trumpets shall sound out at Zion and Babylon on Judgment Day, all ye heretics who make sport of us shall be thrown into the bottomless pit together with the painted harlots and brides of Satan who now walk abroad in the streets trying to turn the thoughts of honest men to fleshly lust with their posturings and mincing gait. Posturings and mincing gait.
Please, turn the sound.
Woe, I say unto all these women in their summer dresses and bathing costumes whose rounded breasts and bodies curve in the evil shape in which unbelievers say the earth is curved. Let them be destroyed, even as Sodom and Gomorrah's.
Turn the control.
Woe, I say unto all things as bound and curved. Woe unto footballs, ping-pong balls, tennis balls, billiard balls, cricket balls, cannonballs, marbles and pawnbroker signs. Woe unto melons, apples, grapefruits, oranges, lemons. Woe unto balloons, electric light bulbs.
For God's sake, turn the sound off.
Okay, well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever. I've got to stop saying that, I know. I'm working on it. And welcome to another edition of the Bit Slap. And I know a lot of you were probably a little confused about just what it is that we're doing here. You may not recognize today's tributary. This week we welcome Peter Sellers on board to the Bit Slap. If you've been listening to me for a while, you've heard some of these before because I like to play them. But Peter Sellers had a pretty good recording career. He did a lot of recording for EMI, did a lot of recording at Abbey Road under the production values and direction of one George Martin. This caused him to know the Beatles, and I suppose the rest is history. But we started out, let me tell you what we heard. We heard Dance With Me Henry. We heard Balham, Gateway to the South, Can't Buy Me Love, Dipso Calypso, A Right Bird, I Fell in Love with an Englishman, that included Sophia Loren, who may or may not have been his girlfriend, we just don't know. The All England, George Formby Finals, and finally Fuller's Earth. Now I want to caution you that pretty much every single voice you heard was Peter Sellers. You may have caught Spike Milligan or Harry Secom in there once or twice. He also worked with a woman whose name escapes me, but she doesn't show up today, I don't think. So you just have to realize that this guy was amazingly talented. But mostly he's noted for being really, really, really hard to work with. He had abuse problems. He had alcohol problems, drug problems. He was married four times, each one ending in unmitigated disaster. And he used to complain that he was sort of lost in his parts. He didn't think he had a personality of his own. He was mostly going where his characters led him. And in the case of Inspector Clouseau, you can imagine how dangerous that might have been. So anyway, we got a bunch of stuff for you here today. Hope you like it. It may be a little dry. It may be a little weird. It may be kind of stupid. But it's original, and And this is what we got for you today. Enjoy.
Ladies and gentlemen. Unchained Melody. Yeah.
Where the hell am I doing in here?
Mr. Bidam, your new play is having a great success in London. I wonder, could you tell me...
I'm not telling you nothing, you spud-faced bastard. I'm not telling you nothing.
What I would like to ask you is...
Got a terrible thirst on me. Where's the nearest
What I would like to ask, what does it feel like
you know,
to...
You know something? I used to know a snivelling bloody scorn, a double really? Nickel and look at the image of you. He got a piece of wet putty for a face just like yours.
I
throw up every time we look at
him. May I ask you, are you writing anything at the moment?
I'm not writing nothing. I'm filthy story for Watch With Mother. That's what I'm writing. Who put this filthy stuff here? I don't...
Can I say, to ask you...
What?
What extent does the Dublin background of your childhood influence your writing?
Where's the gents?
Mr. Bedham, is there any one thing you dislike most in life?
Yes, there is! Being asked too much questions by a snotty-nosed squid who ought to be strangled with a dog's skull tie.
Have your experiences
That's what I hate
in
the most.
Prison made you bitter in any way, perhaps?
Could I not just think a couple right now? A couple at this very minute?
I'm sorry, I can't do anything with him.
What's this filthy muck doing on here? Get it out of it! Here, get it out! Oh!
Hello,
a damn bloody insult to a fella, that's what it is. A man could die of thirst and nobody lives to figure to help him. I'm off to find myself a
Sorry, I won't take that from anyone, no.
Get the hell out of my way. Get your...
Please don't. I'm nothing to do with this. I'm reading what is here. Please leave me alone.
Once upon a time, in the year 2000, there lived on the faraway planet Venus a little boy called Jacko. he had been given a brand new space scooter for his birthday, and what is more, it had a built-in seat for his dog, Dunker, his best friend. Dunker was just an ordinary space dog. That is to say, he had the usual circular body with the usual sugary coat and looked just like a donut, which is probably why he was called Dunker. "Remember now, Jacker," said his mother very seriously. "When you scoot up in the sky, don't go too far, don't go too high. Remember, little boys are not allowed to play beyond the first white cloud."
"Oh, I'll remember,"
said Jacker. But in his heart he was dreaming of flying through space to Earth to see if it was made of golden cheese like the grown-up said. Well, that night, Dunker was so excited he wrinkled all up like a mince pie, and his sugary coat sparkled like icing. So just before dawn, they crept out of bed, out of the house to the space scooter shed. With a twitch of the switch, they were up and away. And Jacker was so happy, he made up a song. Dunker was so happy, he unwrinkled and made up a song too. Which was a pity. And on went Jacker and Dunker. Suddenly, a hairy-tailed comet came herring through the sky, madly sounding his space horn. And seeing Jacker's space scooter, he skidded to a standstill.
"Ooh, is that as fast as you can go? I have never seen anything quite so slow."
"All right, all right, if you think you're so bright. You see that nebula just on your right? We'll race you around it and we'll see who's slow. Get ready."
And the comet cried,
"Go!"
It was a very close race, and right at the end, they tore neck and neck round the final bend. Then Dunker leapt forward as they cleared the last bunker, and the space scooter won by just half a Dunker. And the hairy-tailed comet, who was amazed, presented Dunker with a space horn for first prize. And gave Jacker a second prize, a star gun, for shooting off shooting stars.
"Oh, thank you,"
said Jacker, and said Dunker.
"Oh, not at all,"
said the hairy-tailed comet. And on went Jacker and Dunker. And on through the starlit seas, on towards the golden cheese. And then they passed a wise old star, who said,
"Jacker, what are you doing so far? So far from home, and after you vowed never to play beyond the first white cloud."
"Please, sir, oh please, sir, we're off to Earth for the golden cheese of fabulous worth."
"Go home, go home,"
said the wisest of stars.
"Aren't you aware that you're very near Mars? You're headed for danger. You'll never get by. For Mars is the home of the saucers that fly."
But Jacker just laughed and said,
"Fiddledy-dee, we're not afraid, not Dunker and me."
And on they went. Till all at once, the engine gave a series of horrible grunts. Spluttered and coughed and popped and popped. Then silence. And Jacker cried,
"Dunker, the engine has stopped."
Through space they dropped.
"Oh, there's Mars,"
cried Jacker.
"Why didn't we listen to that wisest of stars?"
And the air was filled with a strange low humming.
"We're sunk. Look, Dunker, the saucers are coming."
And nearer and nearer. On came the flying saucers. But all this time, Dunker had been thinking away, his forehead all wrinkled like corrugated pastry. And suddenly, with a triumphant, he straightened up, puffed up his circular body, and blew out a couple of tremendous blasts on the space horn.
"Of course, that's it,"
cried Jacker. And picking up the star gun, he started shooting off stars just as fast as he could. But still, until the saucers came on. Nearer and nearer. And then, in the far distance, Jack heard an answering space horn blast. And with it, saw an answering cluster of shooting stars. And then, with a mighty swish and a cry of, "Bow down, Jacka!" the hairy-tailed comet tore past them and on into the flying saucers. Ah, that was a great and heroic fight. Those saucers were scattered left and right. Soon there wasn't a saucer left in the sky, and Jacker and Dunker had cheered themselves dry. And then back came the hairy-tailed comet, looking very satisfied with himself.
"Oh, thank you,"
said Jacker, and said Dunker.
"Oh, not at all,"
said the hairy-tailed comet. And he put Jacker and Dunker with their space scooter on his back, and singing merrily, they all returned to Venus. Well, they hadn't got the golden cheese, but there is always tomorrow, with tomorrow's adventures to come. And after all, they did have a space horn. And they did have a star gun. And who wants cheese anyway?
"Excuse me, Professor Krun, your spaceship is waiting."
"Oh, is it? I'll be right with you. Well, goodbye, kiddies, goodbye."
When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, I am not so self-assured. Now I find I've changed my mind. I've opened up the door. And now my life has changed in oh so many ways. My independence seems to vanish in the haze. Every now and then I feel so insecure. I know that I just need you like I've never done before. Help us if you can. We are feeling down. And we do appreciate your being round. So help us get our feet back on the ground, won't you? Please? Please help us? Please? The church beetle will pass among you. No foreign coins, please.
Just a minute. Folks, make sure you ain't using a blunt needle. Last week I got badly scratched on my turntable. And can you think of a worse place to get scratched? All right, let me have that music. It's a never, never land with a numpty, tumpty band playing ooh la, ooh la, ooh la. Everybody's in the band in the never, never land playing ooh la, ooh la, ooh la. You can jump across the moonbeams. You can swing upon a star. You can even sit on rainbow shouting, ha, 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 ha. It's a never, never land. What a numpty, tumpty band playing ooh-la, 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 ooh for you. This is Peter Sellers doing an impression of Jimmy Durante, doing an impression of me. All you gotta do is guess who I am and let me know, cause I'm getting worried. And now may I introduce Fred Crink, the singing undertaker. All right, Fred, let him have it.
You can jump across the moonbeams, you can swing upon a star, you can even sit on rainbows, shouting hoolahs from afar. It's a never, never land, with an umpty-tumpty band, playing hoolah, 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 oh, for you.
That's enough, Fred. On with your wooden overcoat and go. And now, folks, a surprise.
It's a never, never land, with an umpty-tumpty band, playing hoolah, la, hoolah. Everybody's in the band, in the never, never land, playing hoolah, hoolah, hoolah. You can crash the great big cymbal, you can bang the big bass drum, you can be a pipe, pipe, piper,
if you don't fall on your drum.
It's a never, never land, with an umpty-tumpty band, playing hoolah, 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 ooh for you. Playing hoolah, 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 ooh for you.
This should have been a long playing record. Going round on these 78s makes me dizzy.
They say that I'm too old, I guess I'm coming up for nine. Me curly hair is getting thin, it's all them women and wine. But I'm oh so ashamed, it's been 3 weeks since I had a record in the top 20 pop. It hurts me when I think says how at 8 I was top of the poll. They screamed every time I just opened me mouth and rocked in the aisles with me roll. Now I'm oh so ashamed, they all say me discs are flops, cause I haven't got a record in a top 20 pops. I've tried ooh-ahs and I've giggled, I've rocked it and I've skiffled, I've sung an old song and not no one could make out a word. It's the truth. I've clapped me hands till the blood run, I've had echo till me head spun, till me head spun, till me head spun. But they say you're too old, too long in a tooth, give us you. I've had me breakdown in the papers, dyed me hair a luminous green, I wobble me hips in sexy like capers, and me sideboards meet under me chin. But I'm oh so ashamed, it's been 3 weeks since I had a record in the top 20 pops. I've held high notes real classy till me eyes went all glassy. I've sung a duet with myself, nearly ruptured me throat. I've tried humming and not drumming, I've broke 10 guitars with me strumming, but it always turns out some Charlie has done it before. What's the matter with me platters? They say I should try a new kick, but me nerves is hanging in tatters. I've done me nut till I'm fair off me wick, and I'm oh so ashamed. It's been 3 weeks since I had a record in the top 20 pops. Me discs are slipping, I haven't got a record in the top 20. Please buy this record. Please.
Hey, Nar. Would one fine morning I spy the lass there with a mapperty dolly king number dum die. She asked I the right way to Muckbottom Fair, and I up and I showed her the way. Oh, I showed her the way, and I that's the way. cowboy. Warn ye, young maidens, beware of the fair. If ye don't know the way, well, you'll find me right there. For the happiest times of my life, I dare say, I've had showing young maidens the way. I showed her the way.
Children, here is your music for today.
That's nice.
Oh. Well, you know what to do, children. Here is your music for running out of the kitchen. Off you go into the lounge, right up to Mummy. Has she got her back to you? Then out with your Robin Hood sword and plunge it into Mummy's back. With a 1, 2, 3, here is your stabbing music. Now come along, no lazing. Just jump over Mummy, because it's time for our good deed. Saving Grandpa the bother of chopping the firewood. Have you got your little hatchets ready? Good. And here is Uncle Rotter to sing for you.
Sharpen the hatchet and run up the stairs, hide beneath the bed now. 1, 2, diddly-2, and off with Grandpa's head now.
All right, Bill?
Yes. There, now never mind the mess, because it was such fun, wasn't it? And now, off to find Grandma. There she is, hanging from a beam in the kitchen. Oh, I forgot. We showed her our Roy Rogers lasso yesterday, didn't we? Never mind. Give her a push and we...
Swing away to the grandma waltz with her 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
But wait. Oh, here comes Daddy up the front path. Wouldn't it be lovely to have two daddies? Well, we can arrange that. Got your little exercise hatchets? Then it's...
Up on the chair behind the door. Hey, diddle-diddle. Here comes Papa, so up with your chopper and split him down the middle.
Now, children, just one last exercise. Take Daddy's keys out of his pocket. Run to his desk. Take out all his money, his bank books, and those stupid old stocks and shares. And hurry along to the Auntie Rotter Home for Orphans, Balls Pond Road, London. Bye-bye, children.
Hello, children. Ha 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 ha!
Oh, doctor, I'm in trouble.
Well, goodness gracious me.
For every time a certain man is standing next to me, a flash comes to my face and my pulse begins to race. It goes boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, 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 booty, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom.
Well, goodness gracious me. How often does this happen? When did the trouble start? You see, my stethoscope is bobbing to the throbbing of your heart.
What kind of man is he to create this allergy? It goes boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, boom, boom. Boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom.
Well, goodness gracious me. From New Delhi to Darjeeling, I have done my share of healing, and I've never yet been beaten or outboxed. I remember that with one jab of my needle in the Punjab, how I cleared up beriberi and the dreaded dysentery. But your complaint has got me really foxed.
Oh, oh, doctor, touch my fingers.
Well, goodness gracious me.
You may be very clever, but however can't you see? My heart beats much too much at a certain tender touch. It goes boom, booty, 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 boom, boom,
boom. I like it.
Boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom.
Well, goodness gracious me. Can I see your tongue? Nothing the matter with it. Put it away, please.
Maybe it's my back.
Maybe it is.
Shall I lie down?
Yes.
My initial diagnosis rules out measles and thrombosis, sleeping sickness, and as far as I can tell, influenza, inflammation, whooping cough, and night starvation. And you'll be so glad to hear that both your eyeballs are so clear that I can positively swear that you are well, Jaga. Put two and two together.
Four.
If you have eyes to see,
yes,
the face that makes my pulses race is right in front of me.
Oh, there is nothing I can do. Oh, my heart is jumping too.
Oh, we go boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, 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 booty, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom. Goodness gracious.
How audacious.
Goodness gracious.
How flirtatious.
Goodness gracious.
It is me.
It is you.
I'm sorry, it is us.
Mr. Harris, I hope you won't be offended if I begin right away by asking you a rather personal question.
Yeah.
Tell me, to what extent are your recent actions motivated by self-interest?
Well, I do feel that
actions that I'm about to say have excited adverse comment in many sections of the press.
Mm.
Now, are you not at all worried by the storm of controversy you have unleashed?
No, I'm not. I feel
just one moment. You're trying to say, then, Mr. Harris, in so many words, that the hornet's nest you have stirred up is nothing more than a storm in a teacup. Well, now, if that is the case, I'm afraid you're going to find very few people who will agree with you.
My dear fellow, I'm afraid I just
Please let me finish one moment. The public is, Mr. Harris, I think, entitled to a more detailed explanation than you've yet given. Would you care to enlarge on it?
I was about to try to enlarge on it.
Yes.
But you won't allow me to get a word.
I have a feeling, you know, Mr. Harris, that you're trying to sidestep the issue.
No, my dear fellow,
but
I'm not at all.
But I will drop this particular matter for the time being and pass on to something else.
No, as you wish.
Now, Mr. Harris, there is a rumour now gaining ground in certain circles that from man in the centre of public affairs, your private life is not perhaps all that it should be.
Really?
Now, is there any substantial truth in this? I'm going to be quite blunt with you, and in return I expect you to be equally so. So tell me, am I not right in thinking that you are, in fact,
beg your pardon. I'm afraid I'm not...
And is it not also true that you are a lifelong member of the Communist Party?
No, I want to say right here
One moment,
now,
Mr. Harris. You've not... You've not yet answered my previous question.
I'm trying to.
Are you or are you not a practicing...
I'm sorry, my dear fellow. I must tell you right
away...
I am not prepared to stand here.
Please, listen to me.
No,
I am only seeking a simple, straightforward answer to what I think you must admit is a simple and straightforward question.
I think then you must listen to me.
Look,
if I could only just try and tell you without being so...
Can we be serious for one moment? Mr. Harris, you know the purpose of this interview is to get at the truth.
Please, just allow me to say one...
What you are saying, in effect...
I haven't said anything yet,
and everyone else is wrong.
No!
Isn't it?
No.
I mean, I suggest you are deliberately trying to withhold information rather than reveal it.
My God, I've got nothing to hide.
Yes.
On the contrary.
Thank you, Mr. Harris.
Look, I'm sorry. I've never been so insulted in my life.
If you wear red tonight, remember what I said tonight. For red is the colour that my baby wore. And what's more, it's true. Yes, it is. Scarlet were the clothes she wore. Everybody knows. I'm sure I would remember all the things we planned. You understand? It's true. Yes, it is. It's true. Yes, it is. I could be happy with you by my side if I could forget her. But it's my pride. Yes, it is. Yes, it is, yes. Please, don't wear red tonight. This is what I've said tonight. For red is the colour that will make me blue in spite of you. It's true. Yes, it is. It's true. Yes, it is.
Okay, so for the record, Peter Sellers was born September 8th of 1925. He was exactly a year and a day older than my father. He died on July 24th of 1980, exactly 23 months before my father died to the day. Spooky, huh? Yeah, that's what I thought. Anyway, he was in show business pretty much from the time he was two. He did a lot of voicing for, did a lot of... Army things, did a lot of theater, did, of course, you know all about his movies and the fact that he played more than one part per movie. Like Dr. Strangelove, he was three parts. He was supposed to be a fourth, but he hurt his leg and was unable to sit in the cockpit of the alleged bomber for the amount of time. So they gave that part over to Slim Pickens. Remember him? Can't forget that scene. You know, he was a being there, and of course, the Clouseau movies, that wrote his ticket. Basically, revived his career, which was lagging because of the difficulties people had with him. People like Kubrick and Hal Ashby and Blake Edwards, he kind of wore out his welcome with all of them. Kind of too bad. But anyway, so what we heard, we started that set with Unchained Melody, In a Free State, that was Jacka and the Flying Saucers, that was his first record, a two-sided single on EMI, produced by Mr. George Martin, Help, Never Never Land, I'm So Ashamed, Showing Young Maidens the Way, Anti-Rotter, Oh Lady Be Good, Goodness Gracious Me, again with Sophia Loren. They did a whole album together. We heard Face to Face and Bringing Up the Rear with Yes It Is. All right, so I got two more for you, and then we'll take off until next week. Don't know what I'm going to do for you next week. I always say that, and it's always true. I sometimes don't make up my mind on these things until the last minute. But please join me again next week. I'm sure it'll be funny. It'll be interesting. It'll be entertaining. Pick two out of the three and you're home free. All right, I'll see you then. Have a good one.
My friends, in the light of present-day developments, let me say right away that I do not regard existing conditions lightly. On the contrary, I have always regarded them as subjects of the gravest responsibility,
and shall ever continue to do so. Indeed, I will even go further and state quite categorically that I am more than sensible of the definition of the precise issues which are at this very moment concerning us all. We must build, but we must build surely. Let me say just this. If any part of what I am saying is challenged, then I am more than ready to meet such a challenge. For I have no doubt whatsoever that whatever I may have said in the past or what I am saying now is the exact, literal, and absolute truth as to the state of the case. I put it to you that this is not the time for vague promises of better things to come. For if I were to convey to you a spirit of false optimism, then I should be neither fair to you nor true to myself. But does this mean, I hear you cry, that we can no longer look forward to the future that is to come? Certainly not.
What about the workers?
What about the workers indeed, sir? Grasp, I beseech you, with both hands. I'm so sorry, I beg your pardon, madam. The opportunities that are offered. Let us assume a bold front and go forward together. Let us carry the fight against ignorance to the far corners of the earth, because it is a fight which concerns us all. And now finally, my friends, in conclusion, let me say just this.
You are the promised kiss of springtime. What makes the lonely winter seem long? You are the breathless hush of evening that trembles on the brink of a lovely song. You are the angel glow that lights a star. The dearest things I know are what you are. Someday my happy arms will hold you, and someday I'll know that moment divine when all the things you are mine. You are the promised kiss of springtime that makes the love.
Here, Dad, how much longer are you going to be in that bathroom?
Oh, blimey, you can't get a shaving piece in this house. Oh. Lonely winter. Low.